coming from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And when you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. Just want to make sure everyone is there. I'm reading from the King James Version. Chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk and blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the trouble of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The important man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Amen. For the reading of God's word, you may be seated. Amen. We've heard this message before. May have heard it in Sunday school, may have heard it from another preacher. I know I've mentioned and I've had a message on this before. But we have to understand that there are things in our lives that we have to get right. And we have to understand that God is a God that can do many things. And he doesn't always necessarily do it the same way that we are accustomed of doing it. God is a God of many ways where he can do something different than he did yesterday. Although he's a God that never changes. But we have to understand that we serve a God that is capable of doing mighty things, and he can use many methods to do it. This man was at a place where healing was expected. He was at a pool of Bethesda. The name Bethesda itself meant house of mercy, house of grace. And when you consider the meaning of the name Bethesda, you can very well compare it to the church, a place of mercy and a place of grace. So this is where the man was. He was in a place where healing was supposed to be expected. Sometimes we, like this helpless man, are at the place, but we are disappointed when we do not receive healing, even in the place where it is expected. Sooner or later, in the midst of everyone shouting and praising God, if you wait around, your breakthrough will come. Amen. This man encountered some obstacles. Now, we don't know all the obstacles and conditions which were working against him, against this man, but two things were obvious. First, the limited opportunities afforded him, and secondly, the lack of support when this man, when the opportunity came. This limited opportunity was even more critical in that after the angel troubled the water, only one person, the first person to enter the pool, would be healed. If you're not first, you would get nothing. Can you imagine if that was the case today, where you come to church and you're looking for a healing, you're looking for a breakthrough, and the first person who reacts is the one that gets it? That would be disappointing, and that would be troubling. And that's what this situation was, is that the first person in the pool was the one who was delivered and the one that was blessed. And think about it, if that's the only way for you to be blessed is to be the first. Some of us have never been first in anything. Some of us are slow physically. Some of us are slow in understanding, slow to believe in Jesus Christ even, slow to catch on. But it doesn't matter whether you are first or last. All you got to do is get into the presence of Jesus Christ and you shall be healed. Amen. This man suffered for 38 years. That's a long time to be suffering or to be waiting for healing. This man did not have the strength to support himself. I believe that John recorded this situation to reassure you that it doesn't matter how long you have been in the shape that you're in, there is still hope. As the reason why I believe that this particular message and chapter was written, that there is still hope for your situation. And no matter how long you may have been in it, no matter how long you've been dealing with it, God is saying there is hope if you yet believe. So I speak to those who are very sick in their bodies, no matter how long you've been in it, even when your loved ones have given up on you, God has not given up on you. This man had been sick for so long until nobody seemed to have been around with any concern for knowledge of him. But the one thing is that the longevity of his sickness was the very thing that caught the Lord's attention. Amen. This man had been there 38 years, and 38 years he had been he had seen healing within his grasp. But it slipped away from him for 38 years. It seemed the angel troubled the water, but somehow he could not even get there in time. He could never be first. But I want to tell you something today. It doesn't matter how many people there are that need healing, that need deliverance from God today. I came to prophesy to you again, yet again this Sunday. Like the man at the pool of Bethesda, you've been overlooked, crowded out, passed over, outran, and pushed out. But God is saying, you're next. You've been like this man. You've been looking at it. You've been dreaming about it. You've been talking about it, and you've been singing about it. Amen. I can imagine this man staring at the water, watching for the slightest ripple affection, saying to himself, I won't miss it this time. For hours and days and weeks and months and years, he watches the water. Then, for a minute, something caught his attention, and he misses it yet again. Shouts ring out. Once lame man cries out and can walk, his heart sinks, and he realizes, I missed it again. Somebody got ahead of me yet again. So I'm trying to make this where it's personal to you this morning. So you have to look at this message as if this is the Lord talking to you personally. Don't worry about if it's talking about somebody else. Don't worry about that. Worry about the message is for you. So I'm talking to someone today who has watched other people get blessed, get healed, get promoted, get their new car. And it looks like nothing never will come your way. But the word of God says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. The Lord said to tell you that take the limits off him. Don't restrict him to the past methods of your past experience or your past blessing. God can do something much greater than what you accustomed to. In Isaiah chapter 43, in verse 18 and 19, it says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. So while you're looking at something old, an old method, God is saying, I can do something new. And the thing about it is, if you finish the verse, it says, now it shall spring forth. Shall it not know it? Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. See, while you're looking at some past method of what God has done for somebody else, God is saying, I can make something spring up out of nowhere. And you will miss it because you're looking at some past method of how somebody else was blessed. God has said, I can make it spring up out of nowhere. Just come right before you. And before you know it, your blessing is right there. I have a lot of people, they knew I was single for 30-some years, and they wanted to know, how did it happen for me? Stop worrying about how it happened for me. Because all of a sudden, it just sprung up, and it was there. So we look at other people, and we want to talk to them, and we want to see how it was done for them. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying don't let your focus be that. For years, the sick, the afflicted, the feeble would come to this pool and wait for a move of the water. But on this particular day, God chose to do it in a new way. Jesus stood in front of this man. Jesus being the Word of God, who is health and healing and blessing. Jesus, who is the full manifestation of everything he could ever dreamed of, is standing before him. But in this man's mind, it's still on the pool. He could believe for his miracle, his breakthrough, but he couldn't see beyond past glory. God is bigger than that. Yes, God's spirit was in the pool, but the pool was not God. Amen? The question isn't what has God done. The question must be, what is it that you want him to do in your life right now? In order to move on to new things in Christ, you must know that you cannot allow your past failures to possess you, so don't dwell on the past. There are many people who think that God has stopped moving in their midst. They think that God has stopped moving a long time ago, but that's not true. It's because they don't have their attention on what God is doing today. He said, I will do a new thing. People are not focused on what God is doing today. We are so focused on what God has done in the past. We don't realize that God can do a new thing. God is bigger than the last method he used. Let me give you two examples. For one blind man, he touched his eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, the next time he ran into a blind man, Jesus spit in the dirt and made mud and rubbed it on his eyes. So God did not do the same thing he did for one blind man that he then did for another one. God did something entirely different. What I'm trying to get you to understand this morning is that stop looking at what your neighbor got. Stop looking at how the Lord blessed your neighbor. Knew that it could come in any shape, form, or fashion in your direction. This man almost missed his miracle because his faith was still attached to the pool. He was expecting his miracle to come in the water. He almost missed his miracle because it didn't come the way he expected. When you need a miracle from God, you have to give God the freedom to use whatever means he desires to get it to you. I mean, not everybody used UPS. Not everybody used Federal Express. But we use some type of method to get the message, to get the package to you. Regardless of how it gets to you, it came in your direction. Amen? So if you are not careful, you can miss the glory, the blessing, the miracle you need simply because it didn't come in the package that you expected to. God used a dirty bird to feed his prophet Elijah. It was a good thing that Elijah didn't turn down the food. Because if he had turned down the food, then he would have starved to death. But God can use any method to get what you need. You just need to be attentive to what God is trying to do in your life. The thing that we do also is that we start telling folks how we want God to bless us. We start saying to people that the Lord is going to do it like this. God does not have to do it like you say he wants. All right. All right. Amen? Amen? He can do it any kind of way he chooses to do it. Just be prepared and be ready for the blessing when it comes your way. Many times it's not the devil that keeps us from being blessed or receiving our miracle. It's our narrow-minded religion and attitude that try to tell God how to bless us. In other words, we try to tell God how to do his business. Amen? Bless me, God, and here's how I want you to do it. And when I want you to do it. This way and no other way. But you miss your blessing because you're too busy trying to do God's work. This man almost missed his blessing because he was attached to the pool. His breakthrough had come, but it didn't come the way he expected it to come. So he almost missed it. Almost missed it. I'm going to say this. Many times I hear women talk. And when I hear them talk, their ideal of a man is 6 feet and above. When I listen to just casual conversations, they're looking at the statue of an individual, and I guess that's supposed to define what a man is to them. But I like how the scripture says that God looks at the heart. He didn't look at the statue of David. He even told Samuel, don't look at his appearance, because if you look at his appearance, you're going to miss it. And you ain't going to want to do it. But I'm telling you, look at his heart. Many times, ladies, and even men, you miss it because you're looking at the appearance. God wants you to look at the heart of the matter, of the situation. Sometimes you can get a tall nothing. Amen? But you'll look good with them, so to speak. Saul was head and shoulders above everybody. Bible even says Saul was a good man to look at. But that was all. There was nothing else that was attractive about Saul. I'm talking about King Saul. Nothing else attractive about him. He didn't listen to God. He did his own thing. He had his own agenda. My point is, what I'm trying to get to you to this morning is that we have a tendency to look at things from our perspective instead of God's perspective. This man here is at the pool. He's so focused on the pool moving that he couldn't see what the Lord is trying to do for him. So he almost missed it. He was locked into the experience of the past that he thought the only way he could get his breakthrough and his miracle was to get in the crowd and was to push, kick, crawl, cry, fight, and work his way into the pool. He couldn't understand that it's as simple as just receiving. Your miracle, your blessing, your breakthrough is here and it's not in the pool. It's in Jesus Christ. You can wear yourself out trying to work your way into a blessing or a miracle. I see a lot of people, they wear them like you wearing yourself out. You wearing yourself out. You know, when I was single, and I'm going to say this, when I was single, yeah, it was some lonely days, very lonely days by myself. But you know what? I still believe God. You can wear yourself out trying to make things happen, trying to get people to recognize you, trying to open doors for yourself, trying to get to a platform for your gift, trying to convince God that you deserve a blessing, that you deserve a breakthrough, you deserve a promotion. Let me say this. If you're doing God's work, God is going to bless you. Matter of fact, I tell people this all the time. Don't chase money. When you are anointed by God and there's a blessing in store for you, that money will chase you. You want the money to chase you, not you chasing the money. Because if you're chasing the money, wherever you go, you're going to be miserable when you get there. Why? Because God is not in it. Money will find you. So I want to encourage somebody today who is on the verge of quitting, not turning your back on God per se, but shutting down, turning off the switch of faith. You've questioned if it's even worth it. Somebody dreamed is on life support, and you're about to pull the plug. You've been in the fight for your life, and you just don't like what you're getting, the results that you're seeing. So what I'm trying to say, faith never quits, quitters never win, and winners never quit. The difference between success and failure is just fighting one more round, getting up one more time, then you fall. Faith never quits. Your money may run out, your friends may run out, but your faith will carry you through. You will never know when the breakthrough is coming. You never know when the manifestation will come. You never know when the door will fly open or when the power of God will show up on your behalf and turn the whole thing around. One of the main ingredients of this man's miracle was his persistence. Even though he had missed his miracle time and time again, and he watched other people get into the pool ahead of him, he kept coming. As I said, and I'm going to finish this, as I watched my cousins get married, have children, it took me a while, but I didn't let that discourage me because it didn't happen to me yet. But look at me now. I'm married with two children. Now, it was discouraging, but I didn't give up. I stayed the faith. And I believed in God. And then all of a sudden, God presented my wife to me. And there's a funny thing about God. Let me say this. Is that we fellowshipped in church before. But not knowing that this was the person that I was going to marry. So in other words, while you looking all around trying to find where God is going to bless you, a lot of times God's got it right there. You can worry yourself out. How many of you have been looking for something that's right there? I mean, you almost turn up your house and it's right there. I mean, clothes out of the drawers and stuff. Look, a house just looked like a hurricane just went through it. And you looking for something that is right there. Have you did that before? Well, that's what we do in the natural, in the spiritual. God has got what you need right there, but you're overlooking. Sometimes we don't, that's why the busyness of our lives doesn't get us to focus in on what God is doing. Because we're too busy. We're going here, we're going there, and when we get done, we rest a little bit, and then we take off and we go here, and we go there, and then we sit down, we rest a little bit, and then we keep going. But we don't sit down enough to let God say, up to that's the way God talks to some of us. That's all we get. Because God is trying to talk to you, but you're not allowing him an opportunity to finish. So all you get is, in other words, translate, if you just sit still for a little while, I'll bless you. If you let God finish. The man at the pool, he had a fight in his spirit. It will get you moving. It's the kind of thing that is part of your character that won't let you just lay around and be lazy, feel sorry for yourself. The desire to fight through out made him keep coming. It made him press throughout his pain, press through his disappointment and his discouragement. Everybody needs some type of fight in them. Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." When you get the Holy Spirit inside of you, I'm going to tell you something. It makes you bold. It puts a fight in you. The things that you wouldn't do, now you do it. It's kind of like, you know, I watched David Banner, you know, he said, you won't like me when I'm angry. In other words, he was saying, you keep messing with me, the hawk is going to come out of me. You keep messing with a child of God and the Holy Spirit will show up and move on his behalf and will do the work that needs to be done. In other words, it gives that person boldness. Things that you think they wouldn't say, they now will say it because the Holy Spirit is now dwelling on the inside of them. And it will make them speak those things that you think they wouldn't necessarily speak. So this man, he's been in this situation too long, but he never gave up. He woke up this particular morning and everything was the same. He went through the same routine as every other day. What he didn't know was that today was the day of his miracle. So you need to tell yourself, I'm a blessing. And my blessing is closer than I think. Now, was this just a random choice? Or was this a principle at work? Did it just so happen that Jesus was in that place? Or did it just so happen that out of the people there, Jesus came only and specifically to him? Jesus came because of his persistence. Jesus came to him because according to this man's words, he kept coming. He may have been outran, he may have been ran over, he may have been crowded out, but his persistence kept him coming, and his persistence got God's attention. Now, he kept coming through his pain, through his discouragement. Let me make it a little plainer. He kept coming through his divorce, through his bankruptcy, through his confusion, through his betrayal, through his rejection. And I'm sure some people didn't speak to him, but he still kept coming. Amen. I mean, sometimes folks don't even want to come to church anymore because somebody didn't speak to him. Oh, I ain't coming back no more. Why? Because so-and-so didn't speak. Let me tell you something. I can find a lot of excuse not to do some things, okay? Now, there's places that I was going to, and I'm going to tell you something. Let me show you how little that is. I was going to a place, and I don't want to name because I don't want to do advertisement. So I was going to a place, and I didn't want to be there. So I found something to make me not want to show back up. There's a fly in there. So I said, I ain't coming back. There's a fly in there. How many know there's a fly everywhere? I mean, there's probably a fly on some of y'all's back right now and don't even know it. Fly probably came in with you. But you're upset because there's a fly in the building. So I ain't going back there because they got flies in there. That was my excuse. I ain't going back in there. I mean, it got flies in there, man. You hold the door open, the fly probably came in on your back, inside. But look at how small and minor that is. It's the same way people can find all kind of excuses of not to come back to the house of prayer. But let me tell you this, on your job, they don't treat you perfectly. They don't treat you right. But you'll find yourself back there the next day. Am I right? Clocked in, ready for work. Am I right? Knowing that you don't like your boss, knowing that you don't like your coworker, knowing that they don't know what they're doing on the job, knowing all of that, but you still what? Get up in the morning or at night, however you word of your work schedule is, you get up and you go to work. You may complain, but you're still there. But in the church, she didn't speak to me. I'm out of here. You're gone. Now they're like, and then when the outreach committee call you, I ain't coming back there no more. Why not? Because so and so wouldn't speak to me. Who is so and so? I don't want to say. But so and so didn't speak to me. We find all kinds of excuses of not to come to the church. But see, this is what I'm going to say. This is what a pastor would love to hear from his flock. I'm wounded, but I'm coming to church, Pastor. I'm hurting, but I'm coming to church, Pastor. I'm confused, but I'm coming to church, Pastor. I'm battling depression, but I'm coming to church, Pastor. I'm dragging my leg, but I'm coming to church, Pastor. I may even have to crawl, but I'm coming to church, Pastor. I'm not feeling my best, but I'm coming to church, Pastor. Got a slight headache, but I'm coming to church, Pastor. Chest pains, but I'm coming to church, Pastor. Pastor would love to hear that. But some of us were like, nah, that's okay. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not coming. But this man had a made up mind. I'm sure for 38 years he didn't feel his best. But he was persistent. He came despite of how he felt. Be like the lady with the issue of blood. I'm going to die like with my hands stretched out, touching the hem of his garment. In other words, she's saying, if I'm going out, I'm going out reaching for the Lord. That's what her attitude was. So in other words, I'm trying to tell you is to keep moving. Moving is a sign that you're still alive. If you can't move your legs, move your eyes. If you can't move your eyes, move your arms. If you can't move your arms, move your head. If you can't move your head, wiggle your toes. If you can't wiggle your toes, then stick your tongue out. Do something. Because moving is a sign that you're alive. And you need to let the devil know that you're still alive and that you're still moving in the direction of the Lord. So in other words, you need to prophesy to yourself. You need to prophesy to yourself. That I'm next. It is my turn to be healed. It's my turn to be delivered. It's my turn to receive this blessing. God doesn't always do things the same way he's done it in the past. God can use a different procedure at any time. All of these people were gathered around the pool waiting for the turn. They were following the pattern of the pool method. They were waiting for the movement of the water. But Jesus completely bypassed the pool procedure and come to this man directly. Jesus didn't walk through the crowd saying, I will help who's next, or to see what order they were in, or who was next in line. Let me say it right here. Somebody's getting ready to be in the front of the line. You got to believe that. Somebody's getting ready to experience some divine favor. Favor is not fair. Favor can do for you what no amount of education can do. Favor can open doors. Favor will elevate you. Favor will change people's mind about you. Favor will cause money to chase you. Favor is a magnet that draws the blessing of God to your life. Favor will cause people to bless you that don't even like you. Favor will put you in the front of the line when others are more qualified and when others have been there longer. Favor took Esther from a humble peasant girl to the queen of a nation. God's favor can produce supernatural increase and promotion. In Genesis chapter 39 and 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. We see how God took Joseph out of a bad situation and he eventually put him as prime minister of Egypt. Jesus said to the man, rise and take up thy bed and walk. And immediately, without hesitation, delay, he was made whole. So what I'm trying to say, is there anybody in here that has immediate faith? Immediate faith means like right now faith. It's the faith that is before I get to heaven. You know, some of us got that heaven faith, meaning when I get to heaven, then I'll. But I'm talking about right now faith. I'm talking about some immediate faith that you believe the Lord right now. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to believe. You can believe him right now for what he said he's going to do in your life. So you don't have to wait several days, 6 months, or 2 weeks. But right now, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Even though you don't see it, you still believe it. Paul and Silas, like Joseph in the prison, like Daniel in the lion's den, they had now faith. The Hebrew boys, they had now faith. They believed that God would heal them. And they said, even if he don't, so what? Sometimes at midnight, that is the darkest hour, but it is midnight. Midnight is only for a few seconds. Weeping may endure for night, but joy comes in the morning. See, here's the thing. We need to understand this. Somebody may be saying, well, when is it going to turn around? The line is so long and I'm so far back. God is getting ready to flip the script. Y'all know how you are when you go to the grocery store. You see them long lines. You're looking for the shortest line. Even the self-checkout, you're looking for that. But I'm here to tell you that God is getting ready to flip the script. I remember reading the scripture in Matthew chapter 20 and 16. It says, so the last shall be first, and the first shall. All right. All right. Amen. Y'all read that before? In other words, God is getting ready to turn it around for you. God is getting ready to flip the script. That is his word. I'm only telling you what God is saying. That's not my word. I didn't write the book of Matthew. So God is saying, I'm getting ready to turn your situation around. It doesn't matter where you're standing in line. It doesn't matter where your education is. It doesn't matter where your social or economy is. It doesn't matter to God. All that matters is, do you believe and then receive? All you got to do is believe that God would do just what he said he would do. It doesn't matter if you're the biggest or the strongest or the tallest. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that you have a believing heart and that you believe God can do what he said he would do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So in other words, when is your season? You move to the front of the line. In fact, when it's your turn, things other people are struggling with, it will come to you naturally. Why? Because it's your turn. A multitude was waiting on the move of the water. Watch this. A multitude was waiting on the move of the water, but his miracle came to him. His blessing found him. What I'm trying to tell you is that you're close to your blessing. Even though everybody is around, even though you may not be the first to get in, but God has a way of bringing the blessing to you personally. David was out in the field tending sheep, out of sight, out of mind. From all natural perspective, he was not even in the starting lineup. His name wasn't even on the sign-up sheet. But the fact of the matter is that God said, anoint David. Samuel went to his brothers. His brothers was in the lineup. His brothers was on the sign-up sheet. But God said, no, not one of them. And Samuel said, hold up, Lord, are you sure? Or are we going to question God? Is God sure? God knows what he's doing. God said, no, 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 no. Not all of them are here. There is one that has been overlooked, that is out of sight, that is out of mind right now. But I want to draw attention to his heart. He's got the right heart to be a king for me. He's got the right attitude to be a king for me. He got the right disposition to be a king for me. He got the right makeup to be a king for me. He got the right characteristics to be a king for me. He's got the right everything to do what I want him to do. So God is looking at you and say, ah, you got what it takes. So God said, I'm looking at your heart. We should be thankful that God is looking at our heart
and not our appearance. I'm going to tell you, if you got one of them old school parents, sometimes they look at your disposition, and if your disposition is not in order, they will snatch you and tear you up. I'm only speaking because I had that to happen to me. My disposition wasn't in the right shape it should have been. So next you know, I got a whooping on top of a whooping. Well, how did that happen? Because I wasn't in the right frame of mind. My heart wasn't right either. You need to understand that God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart, and God is trying to tell you that you've been persistent. You've been faithful. You've been doing the work of the Lord. He's saying that I'm getting ready to bless you. I'm getting ready to flip the script. I'm getting ready to make the people that's last first. The people that's been overlooked. The people that's been pushed out. The people that have not been blessed like they should have been blessed. God has said, I'm getting ready to do it for you right now and today. So we don't have to wait until a certain time of month to receive a blessing. You know, some of us got to wait every 2 weeks to receive a check. But God has a way of giving you something before you even are ready for it. He said it will spring up all of a sudden. Come out of nowhere, just grab you, take hold of you. And you all you got to do is say, Lord, I thank you. Because I've been praying for this. I've been asking for this. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord hears his children. So when it's your turn, God is going to bless you. And he's going to do it in such a way that you will be an example of his goodness and of his faithfulness. You want to have a testimony. You may even start writing a book. You may even tell other folks about how good God has been to you. I don't know. You may get up and start preaching to somebody. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know that when God is good to you, you just can't keep it to yourself. Let me tell you something. You will start telling everybody how God has blessed you. Even if they say you can't talk about this on the job, well, you will say, hey, let's talk about this at lunchtime. Let's go and talk. And I can tell you about how good God is. Let me tell you a thing or two about God. Let me tell you how he's blessed me. Let me tell you how he's kept me. Let me tell you how I wasn't feeling my best, but the Lord came in and touched me. Let me tell you how people started talking about me, started picking on me, started doing things to me. Let me tell you how God came into my life and he did a turnaround. He flipped the script. Somebody is coming into their anointing. All you got to do is receive it. I'm going to tell you something. I got mine. It's time for you to get yours. Let me say this. You know, it's like when the teacher is teaching. The students, hey, the teacher got hers. He got his. Now it's on you. You need to get your education. I got my doctor's degree. All it takes is for you to start studying, to start reading, to start understanding what God is trying to say to you today. God is saying, I've been watching you. You may have been overlooked by others, and you may have been left out by others, but you're my choice, and it's your turn now. It's your turn to shine. It's your turn now to prosper. It's your turn to be healed. It's your turn for doors to open up for you. It's your turn to receive the anointing of God. So we need to tell one another, don't be angry at me. I don't mean to crowd you out, but my turn is next. Amen. Doors of the church is now open.
Yes. Yes.
Woo. Yes. Amen. Doors of the church is now open.
Hallelujah.
This is the time that we set aside in the service.
that we set aside in the service for people to make a decision, to make a choice.